I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You and others in the administration have said several times that no one has died because of the administration's cuts to humanitarian aid and the shuttering the Agency for International Development. A host of international aid organizations have disputed that. They've detailed how many lives have been lost. Also, Nick Kristof of the New York Times had an extensive piece in the New York Times on Sunday, firsthand reporting on the deaths being caused by the cuts in aid. And he went on to say this. I want to show a tweet he put up. He said, I also obtained an internal Trump administration memo stating that the cost of shutting down USAID is $6.4 billion over 2 years. That sum could save more than a million children's lives. Instead, it is being spent to shut down programs that saves lives. How do you account for that? How do you respond?
Well, that wasn't a memo. That was somebody who wrote an email giving their opinion internally. That is not an official document. That's someone who didn't agree with our decision.
Yeah, that's Secretary Rubio telling George Snuffleupagus that wasn't any actual statement or program or project. That was someone writing an email that didn't like what we were doing. And we have not shut down aid across the board to the USAID program. We have put it under the control of the State Department, where it can be closely monitored and made accountable. And yes, there'll be some cuts. And we'll come to that in a moment. But what they want you to believe on the left, anything Trump does is going to hurt the world and people all around it. Don't we have enough issues to deal with without putting out more scare and fear tactics? I'll put it to you this way, and the other side cannot say this. There might be one or two that would come forward and do it, but I doubt it. I can tell you that if they actually were directly responsible by those cuts of starving kids and basically leaving them to die in the desert, I'd call it out. I don't care who they are, what color they are, what that ethnicity, even if they're Muslim and want to kill us or the Jews. I don't want to see children starving to death or people that don't have basic essentials. And I say, and I've said it before, in this nation, we should not have a single child go to bed hungry in this nation. But they do. Is that Trump's fault? Where's the parent? And if you're providing safety net, quote, nonprofit groups that are helping, are they actually spending the money to help, or are they putting it in their back pocket? There are good charities in our nation. Not all religious, but they're good charities and they are helping. But others, they're not just skimming. They're cutting a large chunk out. Me first, you second. Now, how do you get around no child going hungry? Well, we have our school lunch programs. And there are kids, they may not want to go to school, but if they can get a lunch that day, because they're not going to get one at home, they are going to go to school for that purpose only. And then you have summer. What do they do then? And if you don't have any compassion for such kids caught in that situation, shame on you. And these are not just urban kids, black, brown. These are kids in Appalachia and other parts, poor parts of our nation. But in the view of George Snuffleupagus, everything is Trump's fault, the U.S. problem. We're going to break it down in more detail. First of all, welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors USA. September 25, 2025. And reminding you, with Larry Connors USA, you get news, analysis, opinion, and an education. You will leave this hour with more knowledge than you have right now. And in fact, I've got a 30-plus years educator coming up later. She's going to be teaching you something. Be ready to take notes. Pay attention, class. She's going to tell you about how the unions have destroyed teachers who really went into that profession to do good. Chased away the good ones, destroyed the others. Both of my girls would always play. During the summer, they would play school. The oldest one would act like she's the teacher, walking around the room with a pen and pad and assigning certain things for my younger daughter and her friend to do. And then she'd sit at her desk like she's grading their papers. They played school during the summer. That's how much they enjoyed it. And both of them thought they would want to go into education. They did not, and I was encouraging them that time. I said, look, we do need good educators, and those with a passion. But I also said, don't look at just, and I'm not dismissing, but not just being a teacher. Look to be a superintendent where you can have control of an entire district to make sure that they are teaching kids. As it ended up, neither went into that field. They would have been great, but they would not have stayed because they would not go into indoctrination. So you heard how Snuffleupagus set it up that the U.S. is responsible for people dying around the world because we cut money from the USAID project. We did not cut it. We reallocated it. We put it under the umbrella of the State Department where we can be held accountable. And some money did get pulled back because it was being wasted. But it's not just a matter of money. It's a matter of can the food and items get to the people who need it. And as he tries to drill down and point out that Rubio and the guy in the White House are to blame, Rubio's not going to take that.
Are you standing by that comment? You're saying that no one has died?
No, it's happening now. That's not in the future.
No one has died because of the aid cuts? Are all those aid organizations lying?
That's ridiculous. Well, first of all, then they died because England didn't give enough money, or Canada didn't give more, or China did. Let's blame the other countries that don't do any foreign aid. How about China? I mean, China's the second largest economy in the world. They don't give money to these projects.
So you're no longer disputing that the aid cuts have cost people's lives. You're no longer disputing that.
It didn't. I think anybody who tells you that somehow it's the United States, if we cut a dollar, somehow we're responsible for some horrific thing that's going on in the world is just not true. Beyond that, I would say that in some of these places
the reason why
some of these places didn't get the aid is not because we cut the aid. It's because there's a war going on and the aid never got to the people. So in Sudan, for example, it's not just a humanitarian catastrophe. It's a war zone. Okay, the aid is stolen. The aid is impeded. In fact, they use aid as a tool against the people, and so blocking aid as a tool and an arm of war. So in some of these places, the reason why the aid isn't getting there is it can't be distributed. Look at Haiti. One of the reasons why aid can't be distributed in Haiti is you can send all the aid in the world you want. It gets hijacked and stolen by criminal gangs that control the country. And so they're the ones to blame for whatever happening there, not us who provided more aid than anybody else.
Let me just try one more time.
Are you standing by every part of the world?
Are you standing by your contention that
no one has
died
because the United States has cut aid? No. People have died because gangs steal the aid. People have died because the distributors of aid have not done well. People have died because other countries haven't stepped up. But the United States has saved more lives and continues to save more lives than any other country in the world. And we're going to continue to do it, but we're going to do it the right way and in a responsible way.
But damn it, that does not fit our narrative. That doesn't fit our narrative. Rubio, you still going to stand by that? Snuffleupagus was pushing a narrative and Rubio was pushing back. Good, good. It's just like we have done with Trump the first term when he told the NATO nations, we're thinking about pulling out of NATO. If you guys don't pony up and pay your fair share, why should we pay any money? What did they do? They started paying money. And who was the happiest? The NATO administration. K. Carolyn Leavitt of the White House talking about how Trump has basically gotten NATO in a place where it is responsible for what happens with Ukraine if the nations will step forward and do their job.
President Trump has been very clear that he's been increasingly frustrated with both sides of this war for a very long time. But most recently, he's been incredibly frustrated with President Putin and Russia, who continue to talk nice. But then we wake up every morning and in the West Wing, we're receiving reports about how Russia bombed Ukraine and they continue to kill innocent civilians. And the president is making it very clear that Russia is in a very weak position. And he's absolutely right. They are a massive country with a massive military. They are a war economy. But it's been 3.5 years. And look at how Ukraine has been able to defend itself. And so the president has said that we are going to continue selling weapons to NATO, and NATO and Ukraine can choose how to use those weapons. But the way that this weapon arrangement has now taken place under President Trump is putting America first, because we are selling these weapons to Ukraine and to NATO, and NATO is backfilling those weapons to Ukraine. So the American taxpayer is benefiting from this. That's a change and a shift in position from the Biden administration. But the president has said if Vladimir Putin wants to keep fighting, well, the president knows how to fight. But ultimately, always, the president has wanted peace. He's wanted this war to come to an end, and he's made that very clear since he came into office in January.
And NATO nations, what are you going to do about it? Well, if you were Snuffleupagus, you'd say, you still standing by that? Yes, I am. You want to try another attack? You're going to get the same damn answer. Speaking of attacks, as you well know, we had an attack upon a Dallas ICE detention center yesterday. The gunman was probably trying to kill ICE agents. He ends up killing two illegals that were in the van. He just was shooting blindly into them, and then takes his own life. But against that, the FBI is now saying the Dallas ICE gunman left a handwritten note threatening real terror. And yet a security analyst appearing on MSNBC acts like we're clueless as to what's going on here.
Terrorism is theater. It's intended to influence an audience beyond its immediate victims. It's putting a message out. And now, terrorism falls into really three categories. It's either religiously motivated, ideologically motivated, or in this case, politically motivated. And the politically motivated ones, it doesn't happen in a vacuum. It happens because conditions have been set that people start acting out against.
What are the conditions?
So, distrust in institutions. That's been building for quite some time. Attacks on institutions. The wealth gap. Oppressive policies. At least this is what people perceive. And then the militarization of ICE and other federal law enforcement, the wearing of the mask, aggressive tactics.
No.
So the people who are starting to act out against this feel it's their only recourse.
And the left continues to egg it on. Look, they're Gestapo. They're masked up. They're grabbing people. Even Gavin Newsom saying people are disappearing. They're not disappearing. And Gavin Newsom, have you opened up the mansion for homeless, much less illegals? You got plenty of room. How about at your private estate? How about all your rich Hollywood friends? Are you doing anything to help? No, what you're doing is, again, trying to, as a Democrat Virginia gubernatorial candidate says, fuel the rage. Yeah, in fact, she's urging people. Every time you see something like this happen, like the attack on ICE, do more. Talk more about it. Fuel the rage. In other words, we want peace and we don't want violence, but fuel the rage. And they're not calling out the left for using guns to shoot and kill because the target was supposed to be ICE agents. In this case, it was two illegal aliens got killed. And then the cowardly gunmans, like they always do, commit suicide. But this, you were listening to former security and intel analyst Christopher O'Leary on MSNBC. And then he got to talking about the Charlie Kirk case, and I come so close to losing it.
You have Director Patel putting out information that is clearly immediately trying to assign blame. And I don't think we know enough, and I don't think the FBI quite knows enough yet, what the motivation is here. Does it look like there may be a political angle to this based on the recovered evidence? For sure. Do I think there's trends that are moving in that direction, that we could see more violence emerging from the different sides of the political spectrum? Absolutely.
Well, thank you.
But we have not seen in this case yet, and even not in the Charlie Kirk assassination, a really clear definable ideology or motive.
Are you absolutely that clueless, and you're supposedly an intel analyst? Are you not aware of the bullets that were marked "catch fascist"? And you're not aware of the bullets that were marked for the attack on the Dallas Detention Center? "Kill ICE agents"? You don't bother looking at the evidence if it doesn't fit your narrative. But see, this is a intel security analyst who's got a very cushy job and a big paycheck from MSNBC. If he came out and said, clearly Charlie Kirk was assassinated because of what he stood for and perceived by people to be hateful, when there's no evidence, there is no evidence that he was racist or hateful. Now, if you want to claim, well, he spoke out against trans and abortions, he did it biblically speaking. Every time I've had someone tell me, and I've had some relatives, unfortunately, that fall on the left uninformed area, mention that he was filled with hate and everything, show me where. Show me where. Well, just goes to these campuses, show these students up. He shouldn't have to show them up. If they wouldn't say stupid things, if they were better educated, they wouldn't be able to do that. And if you want to say quoting the Bible is hate speech, then when are you ever going to call out those anti-Semitics, Jew haters? We're in Rosh Hashanah right now, and celebration for Happy New Year for our Jewish friends listening. But the attacks are still going to continue till we get hold of it. Coming up, an ambassador for Project 21 on education or indoctrination. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington. Always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Meguiar Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, Meguiar is a household name because Meguiar understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend Meguiar Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. Another day must be another roofer in town.
John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing, and the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it, and we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I've got a great evening planned for you. We start with dining at the Oak Street Inn Lounge in Cottleville. We enjoy sunset on the rooftop, then down to the speakeasy. Just one visit, you're going to see why I'm always talking about the Oak Street Inn and Lounge. Plus, you might want to plan a staycation, a romantic getaway. Check out OakStreetInnAndLounge.com for various events this summer. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Cottleville. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Cottleville.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. As we were discussing earlier, there are a lot of teachers that are really good teachers, but a lot of them have either retired or simply given up because they've been subject to teachers' unions, not just the dues, but the demands of how they handle themselves, and they know they're being pushed to indoctrinate students instead of educate them. I have with us an ambassador for Project 21, and she has her own personal story. She's been in education 30-plus years. Priscilla Ron, glad to have you on board with us.
Great to be on with you.
Well, let me begin with something. You point out in an article that you wrote regarding some of your coverage, or rather what you've been doing, as to you had 32 years in education and decades inside the union, and you realize this was originally a commentary you had published in the Rocky Mountain Voice, that while you poured your life into teaching, believing the teachers' union stood for students and educators like me, along the way the mission shifted. That's when I knew I had to walk away. Go ahead, please.
Absolutely. I think any young teacher who gets into teaching thinks that they're joining a great organization and they're going to get a lot of support and that the mission is going to be about really developing the education system and your students. But I found out, especially in 2020, that the mission changed and there was more social justice focus, and we weren't really impacting student education and the outcomes. We were helping teachers become more indoctrinators. And I knew right then that I need to walk away.
And when did you realize that?
It started in 2020 during COVID.
Okay. That's when you actually realize it. But the seeds obviously had been planted ahead of that. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I noticed it in our professional development that became hyper-focused on race, and I was very uncomfortable with that, and I kept looking at the test results. They were going down, and the education gap was still increasing, and I just started to pay more attention to what was going on.
And then don't you wish other teachers would as well? You point out that you began your career in Texas in the 1990s, and your starting salary was $18,000 a year, barely enough to cover student loans, a car payment, gas, rent, food, utilities, after dividing into 24 paychecks, about $700 every 2 weeks. And then the teachers' union said, give me some money. But you had no money, so you couldn't join. But later when you moved to Colorado, you were in a better position, so you did join. Did you join because you had the money, or you felt that if I don't join, I'm jeopardizing myself?
Oh, I definitely joined because of the fear factor. I kept being told, you need to have this protection because if something happens to you, you're not going to have protection in the union behind you. So I felt compelled to join.
And were you threatened, or was that just enough to say, you won't have us here to help cover you and protect your back at all? You'll just be out there on your own.
Yeah, you know, fear is a very powerful motivator. And when you're young and you hear all the horror stories from your colleagues, then it makes you think, well, I don't want to be in a situation where I'm not protected. So it was enough of a reason for me to join in those early days.
And you joined the NEA or the AFT, the American Federation or the National Education Group?
The NEA.
The NEA. How would you classify that group now?
I would classify the NEA as an organization that supports all the leftist agenda, the things that actually hurt the communities that they say that they want to support. As someone who is a descendant of enslaved Africans, I've just looked at the test scores in the Black community and in the city schools, and the things that they say are going to help our community actually hurt our community.
You know what they're saying, though. It's you. You're the teacher. You're failing in your job.
Well, they can say that, but that's what they were whispering, weren't they?
They were saying it's the teachers. They are the ones failing because our union is strong and we're doing everything right.
Well, I mean, and there's a great argument for getting out of the union because that's the rhetoric that they spread. They don't have anything to show for where our dues dollars are going except for giving the leaders a $500,000 paycheck every year. Right. I can't relate to that.
I understand. Again, Project 21, you're an ambassador for them. It's a National Center for Public Policy Research promoting the views of African Americans in our nation. Now, you acknowledge that part of what you saw happening, dropping the Pledge of Allegiance, and then you heard things like whiteness and privilege grading for equity. Where did that set on the scale of education?
Way at the bottom. I think that it's very divisive to use that kind of rhetoric. When you think about the types of teachers we have, 80% of the teaching force are 80% are white female educators. So when you're sitting next to an educator who fits in that demographic and you watch their countenance as they're being told that they're racist, that everything that they're doing is a privilege and that their intentions are negative, it's really degrading. And I've just watched my colleagues come to work with their head down and frustrated and ready to just quit the profession altogether. And I don't think that the left realizes what damage they've done to my colleagues, but also to our students who see this and they think that they have to call everybody a racist. And if their teacher holds them accountable to do their work, they're automatically accused of being a racist. I mean, it's just been really, really a negative experience.
And how can they overlook the irony of the fact that a Randy Weingarten, a white woman, is calling out, we need to get rid of whiteness and privilege, and she's getting some of those big paychecks for leading a union?
Well, that's the hypocrisy. She can't relate to me. She has not been in the classroom. She didn't teach through COVID. She is very, very privileged in the position where she's at to take our dues dollars with no accountability of what's going on. I mean, her livelihood depends on the lies and rhetoric that she spreads to young teachers.
You're listening to Priscilla Ron, and I want to share again part of her piece that she wrote originally for the Rocky Mountain Voice. You point out that now that you're in the union at that point, $70 a month in dues became a heavy burden. As inflation soared, I was struggling to put gas in my car. My dad was in hospice. I wanted to send money home to help mom with expenses, but my union was distracted by discussions of legislation on unlimited occupancy in Denver homes and apartments, providing aid to migrants, and advising on how to shield undocumented families from government activity.
I could not believe these conversations we were having in our union, where teachers were saying, let's send dues dollars down to the border, or let's send our dues dollars to California because there are kids who need our resources, when we had kids already here who aren't getting what they needed. And, you know, it was during Bidenflation and everything was expensive. And I was saying, you know, I can give myself a raise.
Yeah.
And that's literally how I thought about it. I am going to give myself a raise. I'm going to quit the union, and I'm going to stop funding the things that I don't believe in and don't match my values.
What happened when you said, I'm out of here?
I just went into the office, and I knew the office workers. I had been in the fight with these folks for decades, and I said, give me the form. I'm getting out. Love you, but I'm getting out.
And you saved $70 a month immediately. And our teachers' scores, or rather data for the nation's report card, showing what, 32% of fourth graders, 30% of eighth graders are proficient in reading, low scores in math and so forth. Where is the education in the last 30 seconds? Where would that be?
It's really sad that that's where we are. And for any teacher that's listening to this conversation, I can say to them, we have a great profession. You don't need to pay dues to the union to have a great career. And there are organizations out there who will protect you with liability insurance for free, just like Teacher Freedom Alliance.
Priscilla Ron, an ambassador for Project 21, I want to thank you for your time. It's teachers like you we need on our front line in our schools.
Hello, hello.
Yep, I appreciate having you with us. Thank you very much. That's a story that's been repeated all across the nation, and why many parents are choosing homeschooling. There are some good teachers out there, but they're being shackled and threatened. And then you go to the institutes of what, higher learning? Not so much.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I've got a phone number for you and a website where you can take a free, quick survey to learn how to use artificial intelligence, AI, to put your company on a fast track to the future. Here's the number. It's a 636 area code, 636-689-0545, 689-0545. This is PRI Global. And recently, the St. Louis Business Journal named PRI Global as a leading IT consulting company. 25 years working with hundreds of companies, several Fortune 500, locally and around the world. PRI Global has its own AI lab to develop what's best for your company. Take the free survey and be on your way to the future. 636-689-0545, 689-0545, or go direct PRIGlobal.ai, PRIGlobal.ai. Hey, looking for windows that solve your problems and actually add value to your home? Renewal by Anderson. Anderson products increase your home value by at least 15%. Right now, get $329 off every window, $729 off every patio or entry door, and ask about our zero interest plan for 3 years. Renewal by Anderson, the full-service replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted for more than 122 years. Renewal by Anderson has FiberX frames, 20% stronger than vinyl, built to last. It's why we have more 5-star reviews than anyone in St. Louis. And only Renewal by Anderson backs it up with the nation's best warranty. Schedule your complimentary consultation, rbastl.com, or call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson, superior products, exceptional service.
You've worked hard for your money, so protect it. Meet my friend Bob Leslie and ask about the Gain and Retain plan. Leslie Consulting, 40 years in the St. Louis area as a leader in brokerage and risk management. Call 314-721-0066, 721-0066. Oh, and ask Bob how he was the L.A. Dodger number one pick. LeslieConsulting.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I'm chasing tail lights, straight as a crow flies, hunting just to stand a country road. I've got a shotgun, it's riding shotgun, and we're both fixing to unload. Son,
this is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, we had mentioned previously about these incidents that happened with President Trump and the First Lady at the UN the other day. The escalator issue, it was working fine until the First Lady stepped on ahead of the President, as it should be. The woman goes first, and it moved about two steps and then suddenly jerked to a stop. Either one could have fallen down and hurt themselves. Oh, well, accidents happen, and sometimes escalators, you've probably been on one, and suddenly it stops. You do know, and I'm not telling you this to exercise this, but there are shutoffs for escalators, easily accessible, because if someone, and it's happened in the past, they get tangled up, either their hair or a shoe string gets tangled up, and they got to shut it down before someone gets hurt. I'm sure there's, at the UN, plenty of video to show if anyone touched that button directly. But then there are other ways to control it as well. So when it did jerk to a stop, the First Lady in high heels and President Trump at his age walked all the way up that escalator. They didn't get off and try one of the others working. They just continued. I think there were a couple others that they could have used. But they continued. Okay, it's no big deal, Larry. I mean, it happens. And then when Trump gets ready to make his address to the UN membership, the teleprompter suddenly is messed up. That happens. I've had decades in TV news where basically maybe if I'm really graceful, I would say 30% of the times the prompter was right where it should be. 30% out of 100. So those things happen, partly due to teleprompter operator, partly due to someone suddenly making a change and not informing anyone. I'm reading page 5, and they're telling me in my head, we're dropping page 6, we're going to page 9, and the teleprompter is suddenly zipping through all these words, zipping in front of my face. And I've got to maintain composure and not show that, what the hell? I just continue until that page 9 gets there, and I've always got copy in my hand for that very reason. Folks often answered or asked, do you read from your hand what you've got in your hand? Say, yes. There are times I do, partly because that prompter, as I said, if I'm going to be graceful, it's only correct 30% of the time because of a variety of reasons. So what happened with Trump and the UN? Don't know yet. But we also know that a reporter for Salem Broadcasting was there on behalf of one of the other networks. And she said when Trump came up, suddenly his mic was muted, not as loud as the others had been. Oh, that's, maybe somebody forgot to turn it up when the President of the United States comes to the microphone. Let me see, do I turn it up? Do I turn it down? Or do I just leave it where it's been for everyone else? They would have you believe that every one of those incidents were just simple mistakes, an accident, and that, Larry, you were just trying to start a conspiracy theory. No. I'm pointing out that, and Carolyn Leavitt of the White House said, we had received word from some in foreign countries that someone might try to sabotage the Trump speech. We didn't know what they meant by that. Well, stopping an escalator where maybe he falls down, hurts himself, that would be one way, or the first lady. Making sure the prompter operator or the prompter itself is not working properly, that's another way to sabotage him. But with a guy like Trump, he's fast on his feet. On the escalator and on the prompter. He can't control you shutting down his mic or basically muting it. Nor can he control what the translators are saying that he said as they address their delegates in translation. They're going to get a printed copy of what he had to say, so I don't think there was much they could do to gin up false information on that point. But I have no doubt all of this was to do what they could to, again, embarrass, destroy Trump one way or the other. The White House is instructing federal agencies. If the Democrats, the shutdown deadline is September 30, here we are September 25. The White House has put out word from the Office of Management and Budget with respect to federal programs whose funding would lapse and which are otherwise unfunded. Such programs are no longer statutorily required to be carried out. In other words, there will be mass layoffs. Chuckie Schumer, you want to put it on the Republicans, but we all know that you are simply trying to destroy our nation becoming great and greater. So they add in this Office of Management budget memo, therefore consistent with applicable law, including the requirements, agencies are directed to use this opportunity to consider reduction in force notice for employees in programs. In other words, we've seen when we do shut down, you weren't really needed anyway. So maybe we will just say, terminate it. You're done. They will do everything they can to blame it on Trump and the White House. No party likes to be in power when there is, quote, a government shutdown. They feel like they're going to be punished for it. That's the game the Democrats are trying to play right here. Well, the Oval Office and hardcore Republicans are fighting back. Let it happen. Let it happen. We know that you are the ones who killed continuing resolution to make things better and at least go deeper down the road. So it will be on you. And your midterm elections are right there. And with the mood of the country right now, it's not going to go the way the Democrats want. What votes they have, they will lose. They will turn their back on them. I could care less. But I want our nation to succeed, and they should. It's the leadership of the Democrats, basically Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, just not willing to fund the government. Because they want funding for far-left NPR and PBS and things like that put back into the budget. And we said no. As you well know, we could have had some ICE agents killed yesterday by a gunman targeting an ICE detention center. Two were killed, but they were the illegal aliens in the van. The shooter's just shooting wildly at an ICE vehicle, thinking ICE agents are inside. They were, but his bullets hit two of the illegals, killing two, wounding two others. Now, I take no great joy in that. These were people who had their lives. They were here in our country illegally. They were going to be removed, but we were not going to assassinate them. But this guy who wanted to fight against ICE did assassinate them and then takes his own life. Based on that and based on the Charlie Kirk killing, there's a former national security analyst for MSNBC says, we just don't see any motives and understanding of why this stuff is happening.
You have Director Patel putting out information that is clearly immediately trying to assign blame. And I don't think we know enough, and I don't think the FBI quite knows enough yet, what the motivation is here. Does it look like there may be a political angle to this?
Yeah.
Based on the recovered evidence, for sure. Do I think there's trends that are moving in that direction, that we could see more violence emerging from the different sides of the political spectrum? Absolutely. But we have not seen in this case yet, and even not in the Charlie Kirk assassination, a really clear, definable ideology or motive.
Really? Really? You can say that and not even crack a smile? Let me read those words again to you. This guy, supposedly a security analyst, says, we see no clearly defined motive even in the Charlie Kirk assassination. Messages written on the bullets, here, fascist, catch, and other such things. You don't consider that a motive, and you have to fight. Well, we don't really have a full understanding. If I'm going to be graceful, I'll say you do not have maybe 100% understanding, but you got 99.99999. People are arrested on a lot less suspicion than that. And at Georgetown University, a place of supposedly higher learning, they've got a flyer posted by the John Brown Club at that D.C.-based university using one of the phrases on the bullet casing that the man that shot Killer had planned to use, that shot Kirk had planned to use. Hey, fascist, catch. And again, you don't see any connection. In our last hour, we had John Daniel Davidson with us, and he talked about what the left is trying to do is raise up the status of John Brown. You know who John Brown was? In 1856, he led a band of armed men, some including members of his family, and they went into a massacre in the Kansas Territory. They were against slavery. And they thought that gave them justification for cold-blooded execution of unarmed people who might have been in favor of slavery. Maybe not, but they were surely not on their side, so they made sure they slaughtered them. And now they have the John Brown Club putting up these flyers around the campus of Georgetown University, calling for more violence. That's clearly what it is. But again, we just don't have any motive. We don't understand. That, I will grant you, you do not understand. There's a 19-year-old that's been charged, thank God, because he was arrested, making social media threats just hours before students and community members gathered for a vigil to honor Charlie Kirk at the University of Texas in San Antonio. He allegedly suggested in his Facebook that he was going to use his truck to disrupt the vigil. Not a gun, but use his truck. Maybe run into some of those attending that event. And he said, you could see tomorrow, I just wouldn't advise trying to stop a Ford 250 diesel truck. Show y'all how much Charlie really means. Thank goodness the word got out. Somebody absolutely notified police authorities, and they stepped in. The guy arrested said, oh, no, no, I wasn't being threatening. I was just being dumb. I'll grant you that. And clowning around. Do you clown around, get on an airline flight, and say, I might hijack this plane? I'm just clowning around. See what happens to you then. And I've seen reports of another guy who wants to get one of these billboard trucks and put a video on it, circulating a loop video of Charlie being hit, and just drive around for everyone to see Charlie Kirk's death over and over again. Our nation needs healing. Charlie Kirk, there are others coming forward. And we need our churches to join in this. We need Christians alike to stand forward and speak out against it. And those of you who are Democrats who are also Christian, and I know you exist, speak up. All right, class, as I say in the beginning of the program, this is not just news analysis opinion, but education. What did you learn this hour you didn't know before we started? Well, class is in recess until 6 tomorrow evening. Be in your seat. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.